Let's turn in God's Word to Mark's Gospel and Mark's Gospel in chapter 11. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 33. And beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God, so give your attention to them. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and then Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "Why, what are you doing loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of thieves." And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says he will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." And they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him, and they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed." So they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And those are God's words. And when we come to this chapter, we remember from the last chapter, remember how Jesus would heal people and then he would say, don't tell anybody what I've done, right? But in the last chapter, he didn't do that, at least at the end. Because he's coming to the cross. This is the week, this is the beginning, near the beginning of the week, that he would go to the cross, the Passion Week, as some people call it, in which Christ is crucified. And that's part of the reason he goes into the temple and he cleanses the temple and kicks people out. And you see the response to that was that the scribes and chief priests sought to destroy him, verse 18, that they might destroy him. But here we see at the beginning through verse 11 the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's riding on the colt or the donkey that was promised in the Old Testament here, making sure he does so. And why does Christ come? Why is it called the triumphal entry? It's because Christ coming to Jerusalem here, he's coming to Jerusalem to do what? To take away the sins of the world. The triumph over our sin, the triumph over the devil and the works of the devil. And so here he is coming in. And through verse 14 it says he curses the fig tree. He says, let there not be any fruit grow on you ever again, right? In verse 14. And so he curses the fig tree, and he's doing that to show forth a truth amongst the people and amongst his disciples. That if his people don't produce fruit, they will wither and die and be cursed because they're not his people at all. Here specifically, he's speaking about that doom that it would come upon many of the Jews for their failure to turn to Christ. There's no fruit. There's no faith. And so they're cursed and they wither and they will die. And then through verse 19, he does drive out those of the temple. They were desecrating and desecrating the Lord's worship. They're there. There's people there trying to gain money. So all these people are coming to celebrate the Passover at the end of the week. Here are all these people coming in. Some of them are poor and they have to trade some of the things they have for the proper sacrifice. And it even talks about the doves here. That's what the poorer people would use in their sacrifice and their offering. And so there's people in the temple where God's worship is to happen. We go back to Chronicles. Remember what worship in the inside the temple is supposed to be all about? God's worship. And the priests are supposed to be there, not regular people. And yet here there's people who are trying to become rich off the poor. Trading, but they're gaining more than what is an equal value. But even outside of that, they shouldn't be there in the first place. Because this is the Lord's worship. And so Jesus kicks him out. Another passage, it says he uses a whip and whips them. And he drove them out. That's how he drove them out. And through verse 26, they passed by that withered fig tree that the day before was green. It had leaves but no fruit. And it was cursed, showing the disciples. Christ uses that part to show the disciples the power of prayer and faith in prayer. And then to the end of the chapter, upon being questioned about his authority, we see his response. We know where Jesus received his authority from as the mediator king. He received it from the triune God. To go, to die on the cross. And then he's given all things after he rises from the dead. And so we know that he's been given all authority in heaven and earth as our mediator king. And so we learn here again, he takes away the sins of the world. Behold him then. Look to Jesus in faith. He is the one who takes away those sins. The only one who takes away your sins. And forever, he is the victorious king who has triumphed over our sins and over all of our enemies. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that you have given us the gospel. Now you've communicated it to us. Though we don't deserve it, as we heard this morning, we're undeserving of hearing the gospel. We're undeserving of being here this evening to worship you and to hear your word, hear you speak. Even undeserving of praising you. We deserve to receive the curses as Jesus cursed the fig tree. We deserve to say, to have those curses pronounced upon us. And Father, we're thankful, therefore, for the gospel and the gospel of Jesus Christ, for his sacrifice on the cross, in which in this passage he's moving towards that at the end of the week in this gospel. And Father, we ask that you would grant to us faith. Grant to us faith in him. Grant to us faith in his authority and his power, in which he reigns over all and has all authority over heaven and earth, and all creatures and all things. And we would say all the universe, all creation, he has authority and power over. And so when we look with our eyes and see distresses and dark providences, Father, we can have hope. We can have comfort because we look to Christ and we see him who is above all and has all authority and power over all. And we rest in his arms, rest in his rulings. And so, Father, we pray that you will help us to trust in your Son who is reigning as the victorious King, in which we remember that in union with him we are more than conquerors, we are more than victorious in him, as we learn in Romans 8. And so, Father, we pray that you'll help us to grow us in faith, even as we prepare and begin preparing this week for the Lord's Supper. We pray that you would grow us in faith this week. Strengthen us as we examine ourselves and prepare, and as we contemplate your Son Jesus Christ more and more, as our prophet and as our priest who sacrificed himself there on the cross, and as our King who rules and defends us. And Father, this evening again we do keep praying for Dave's mom, Libby, and you would strengthen her heart, strengthen her in her mind, her words, that she would be able to communicate well and understand well what's happening, if that be your will. And Father, we ask that you would be with the Gorodetskis who are still, Julie's still recovering from sickness. And be with Graciela, who's struggling with migraines as of late, and you would strengthen her brain, head, and the muscles around it. And anything that's leading to those migraines, we pray that you would reveal that so that she could take the right steps to alleviating the problem. If it's not able to be alleviated by men, we pray that you would heal her. And above all, we pray that you would heal her by all your means, and even secondary means. Father, we ask that you would strengthen each one of us. Lots of, many of us probably have greater stress and struggle with that. And so, Father, we pray that you'll strengthen us in our bodies, our minds, our wills, our souls. That above all, we would not lose that focus upon the kingdom, and that we would seek first the kingdom in all things. Be with Dina as she and her family deal with parents aging and moving possibly, and all the details surrounding that, and alleviate her stress. And Father, we pray that you'll be with Wendy Stevenson's mom and dad. You would strengthen them. I know that at least recently they were struggling, so we pray that you would be with them and all of our parents, extended families who may be struggling. Father, strengthen your people, and those who are not yours, we pray that you would use the struggles that they go through even to open up for us opportunities to declare to them once again the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they would trust in him and know that he alone is the one who provides each thing that we need, and who protects us from each enemy and an external thing that might hinder us or hurt us. You are the God who protects us and provides, and you are the healer. Father, again, we pray for the churches, your churches. We pray that the kingdom would keep expanding and that more churches would be planted. We pray as we consider soon our budget in the next month or so, and how we may best use our resources. We ask that you would provide for this congregation. And we ask that you would grow us, not for our own glory, or that we might say, look at us, that we're growing so rapidly or not, or whatnot. But Father, we pray that we would look first to you and praise your name for what you've done in the last couple years with us, and know that it's only at your hand. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And Father, we pray that you will continue doing this great work that you have been doing, and that you would use us still near in the future, to plant another church, and that the gospel, wherever that church is planted, would go forth, and you'd bring a pastor for that congregation and grow them, and that more people, non-believers, new converts would come in, as we pray the same for ourselves. And you would do your great work as you grow your kingdom through weak instruments and undeserving instruments as we are. And all for your glory. All that the kingdom promises would come about as you've promised them. That not only the Gentiles and Jews will come in, but the nations will come in. And they will bless you and serve you. We pray for Dayal as well, as he makes preparations to travel back to Kenya and South Sudan to prove his marriage, and then be able to come back here and start the immigration process, or continue that process for his wife and children, or wife and child, and then pray that you would give him success in that time. It wouldn't take long in being there. We pray also for the expecting mothers of our congregation, that you would keep them healthy and keep the babies healthy. And as they are soon to deliver their babies, Lord willing, in the next couple months, Father, we pray that you would bring about children, and children who will love you, maybe even from the womb, that they might even leap in the womb as John the Baptist did before Jesus. But above all, we pray that you would save them and all of our children, even those who have gone far off and rebelled against you. Call them back to yourself. Plague them with the memories of hearing the word and what they've heard. It is written in their heart. It's there. And they know the truth, but they've suppressed that truth. And so, Father, call it to their memory. Plague them with it, that they could do nothing but turn to you and be saved. And then, Father, we pray for Oscar and Michelle as they prepare to be married next month. Pray that you would strengthen them, grow them in faith in you. And by that growing of faith in you, they would grow close together as they begin their marriage and throughout the rest of their lives together. Pray that you would protect them from evil that would tempt them and try to divide them. As we pray for all of our marriages, that rather all of our marriages would show forth Christ in the church, a love for the bride and the bride's submission to her husband, Jesus Christ, as we, the church, seek to submit to you. And in all these things, we do ask that your will would be done, that your name would be praised, and you would glorify us at the right time in Christ your Son. We pray in his name. Amen.